What happens when Adam Carolla traps Hollywood A-listers like Bryan Cranston and James Franco in a room with a couple of hundred drunken fanatics?
This should be a very dynamite show.
Uh-huh.
Download the Adam Carolla Show with Bryan Cranston and James Franco now on the Podcast One app, iTunes, and at PodcastOne.com.
I think we should just say it on the podcast.
This is Carolla Digital.
Don't fake it, just bust a move. This joint is gonna get you in the mood.
Yep. It's the Koi Pond. Chris.
Yeah.
Nick. We're back. And we got a great guest.
I can't wait, man.
Yeah, this is cool. Because, one, I think it's stupid if I don't say that. Let me just say who you work for first. Is
okay.
That cool?
Yeah.
Because he's one of my all-time favorites. You know what I mean? Like, Conan, to me, was kind of like that dude that when he got the torch, when they did that shift, they moved Letterman over, and then all of a sudden they threw this redheaded dude.
I know.
It was the weirdest thing.
Everyone was like, who? What?
Everyone
who
did.
Is that?
Like, we didn't even know he wrote for Saturday Night Live. Like, we didn't
Nothing.
Know any of that
yeah.
stuff. We were
yeah.
just like, okay, dude, they just signed dude?
Yeah.
Like, that's how literally.
It was like horrifying. A writer?
Yeah. Because, yeah, exactly. But here's the thing. Because, like, I'm like old. I don't know how old you are, but I'm 45.
Yeah.
So, like, that was like, there was only three networks, maybe four. I think Fox was just making a push.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in those three networks, each one, well, two of them had talk shows.
Well.
It was Letterman.
Did Letterman start right when Conan took over? Or?
No. Letterman. It was the Tonight Show, and then it was Letterman, right?
But Arsenio wasn't Arsenio.
Arsenio
on,
was on Fox.
Yeah, at that time.
So then CBS wanted to make a push for the talk show thing, and then they moved Letterman over to CBS.
Yeah,
and then
Leno pushed him over.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess.
But then I was like, we were like, well, who's going to take Letterman's spot? Like that was such a prime spot. Like that was my show.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden here came Conan and I was just like, who's this dude? And I gave him like that first day shot and I'm like, and then I started watching and I was like, oh my God, this guy's so funny.
Yeah.
And then it just got better and then it got better and then better. And then now it's just like, it stands alone. It's
Definitely.
The Conan show. You know what I mean?
And
it's
just he's like, so himself now, you know?
But it's just like, it's like when it comes to like the talk show, how do I say it? The Tonight Show,
the
Letterman,
universe.
Conan.
Yeah, right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And everything's just it all fell underneath it now. Like there's new host or whatever, but those were the three.
Yeah,
those were the big daddies.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Conan was the baby at the time, but now he's
the senior. It's
kind
of crazy.
Yeah, and
in terms of longevity, I think he and like Colbert are like the same age.
But, yeah, but you know what I'm saying? There wasn't that many talk shows.
The hierarchy.
Shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now it's like you're one of the writers of it.
Dude.
What a dream gig.
Yeah,
this is Lori Kilmartin, you guys. Lori Kilmartin. You can follow her on everything. But Kilmartin.com if you want to see where she's performing or whatever she's got going on in her schedule.
Yeah. I'm in New York right now.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
But the cool thing about this today, December 29th, is a very important day for you because this is your first hour special and it's going to be available on CISO.
Right.
It's called 45 Jokes About My Dead Dad.
Yeah.
And it's out. How excited are you now?
I'm super excited. I shot it like 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically all comedy based on my dad dying of cancer and going through the hospice process and funerals and all that kind of stuff. And I wanted to do just straight stand up and kind of throw every kind of joke at it as I could just to take people through the entire process.
Yeah.
So it's not like a one person show. It's, you know, there's jokes and it's dick jokes and it's just jokes.
Yeah.
I had trouble selling it just based on that. And so, Cringe Humor, the management company, they own The Stand in New York and they had this idea of let's add, some hospice footage. Let's have your mom and your sister talking. Patton's on it. Conan's on it. Andy Kindler. Cause I was tweeting about it when my dad was dying too. And so we sort of added that to it, which I guess kind of explains a little bit more why I wanted to do it, and people seem to like it a lot.
Yeah, that when you were tweeting that was 2014 when that was happening, right? Mm-hmm. And while you were doing that, that kind of like blew up.
Yeah, that was so like, strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of eerie, but like cool and strange, but it blew up.
Kind of, it was weird. I'm with my dad, and, you know, we're told he's dying, right? And so, you know, you're a comic, you want to go out every night and do spots or something. And I was back home in the Bay Area, and there's tons of stand up to do there. And it's just, I'm not used to being home every night, you know, it drives me nuts. And that I wasn't going to leave his bedside.
Yeah.
So the stuff I probably would have saved at night for, you know, just doing at a show, I just started tweeting. And then I realized it was really helping me deal on the spot with these crazy things.
Yeah.
You know, helping, you know, just sort of ushering somebody off into whatever yonder there is.
Yeah.
It's such a surreal thing that you can't sort of wrap your brain around. And even when you're there, you're like, is this happening?
Is this happening?
And, you know, writing jokes, as you know, is a way to sort of manage a feeling a little bit and at least go, all right, I got this out of it. I made this little thing out of it,
A lot of people like when we do that, like, especially as comics, I always go to the real.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like my therapy, because I had such a fucked up childhood. And it's just like, I might as well just talk about what you know what I mean? It's like a lot of people pay for a therapist, and it's just like, well, my therapist are the people listening.
Yeah.
I say it in a funny way, but and then, of course, I'll embellish and I'll make it a little bit funnier than what really happened. But for some reason, it makes me feel good when I finally get it out of my chest, man, because I keep it in for so many years. And if I just tell that one story about my mom or that one story about my son, it's like, it makes me feel that much better. It's just a little bit off of my chest.
Yeah. And the fact that you were able to make it into something other than just an emotional dump. I mean, that is one way you could do, is just go to therapy and go, this thing happened. But to take it and reformat it into something else that people enjoy and you can enjoy is fulfilling.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's our way of dealing with it. Like, comedy is medicine for us.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Sometimes we're sad people, but the stuff that we say, it makes us funny. And it's like, that's where my comedy comes from sometimes. It's like, not all the time, but like, when something bad happens, I'd like to see the funny in it.
Yeah. And also, I think it helps you just – it's like almost a beacon of, well, okay, this horrible thing is happening to me, but I'll get something out of it.
Yeah.
I'll get material out of it.
Yeah.
I'll get something out of it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Other people have – everything you've been through, somebody else has been through, or they've been through something that's like it. And when you can repackage it, they love it.
Yeah, exactly. How long did you – when did you know you wanted to be a comic? I always ask that question, but I always want to know. I'm always interested.
I was I wanted to be like more like Carol Burnett, like a comedic actress.
Oh. And the best, right?
Oh, she's great.
The best.
Yeah.
And the cool thing about her, no shelf life. No shelf life.
Oh, I know.
You can play that right now at any hour of the day, and it's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, genius, man. Yeah. All of them. They were all great, man. Tim Conway, everybody.
And I also felt like with them breaking up was really natural.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I see some people do it on SNL, I'm like, that's planned.
Yeah, you're forcing
it. Because you guys don't have a joke.
Yeah.
But I really think Tim Conway made Harvey Korman laugh.
Oh, no, that was real.
Yeah.
That was real.
Yeah.
You can totally tell. Tim made everybody laugh.
Oh, my God.
You know how it was real? This is how you know it was real. Because you're laughing the same time Harvey started.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You are laughing just as hard as Harvey is, and for the same damn reason.
Yeah.
And Harvey, by the way, same thing. He would make Tim laugh. And,
yes.
And then that would crack me up even more because no one ever made Tim crack.
I know. He was hard to break.
Yeah, man. But so true. Oh, and what's her name was also fun
Vicky
to watch.
Vicky Lawrence?
Yes.
Yeah,
oh,
she's great.
Oh, my God. She was great. She was great. Great. Just such a great reference, man. But
oh, yeah. And then I remember she would come out and do like a little monologue?
Yes.
Like talk to people off the top?
Pull her ear?
Yes.
Do her Tarzan on request?
Yes. And just do like crowd work. She'd open with crowd work and then go into sketches and stuff. And so I was like, all right, I want that, whatever that is.
Yeah.
But I didn't get that. But I started going to see stand-up in San Francisco, and it wasn't really – it was like the beginning of the first bubble, like the very late 80s. And when I saw somebody who wasn't that good, I was like, oh, I could do that.
Yeah. Right?
When you see someone that's great, you're like, oh, get me out of this business. But when you see someone that's just average, you're like, oh, I could be average.
Yeah.
And if that's good enough for these people, then let me try it.
Let me try.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're looking at something and you're going, oh, my God, he sucks. I'm next. I'll follow that for sure.
for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember when I went to the Comedy Store for the first time.
Did you start in L.A.?
Yeah. Okay. No, I started in Vegas.
Oh.
Yeah. But for the first time, I was already kind of getting these like kind of spots in Vegas, you know, bars and coffee houses.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, all right, I'm going to get my shot over at Potluck Night over at the Comedy Store on Sunday.
So you drove out to L.A.?
Drove out there, had a friend drive. And then, I just remember, you know, Potluck Night. It's like 90 comics.
Yeah.
And you don't know who's going to drop in. It's like Chappelle, Rock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just everybody's going to walk in and go up.
Yeah.
And of course, it was that night.
Yeah.
It was the all-star night. Right? And it's like, I remember looking at my spot. I had a pretty decent spot. I was like at 10 o'clock was my spot, or 10:15.
Before people started dropping in.
And of course, I had no idea that was the prime spot. I'm new. You know what I mean?
Right.
I had no idea that 10 was the prime spot. And that's when everybody starts walking
sure.
in. And I remember it was about to be my turn.
Yeah.
And they were like, are you ready? And I was like, you're going right up after. And I just remember watching Chris go up.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And this is like I think he just left Saturday Night Live. I forget what
right.
time it was.
And so you've been doing comedy in coffee houses like a couple months?
No, just a couple years. But
oh,
I mean, but even then, in between.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? I'm not seasoned.
Yeah. You don't have, you're not in
and by
a
the
rhythm.
Way, yeah, yeah. And by the way, it's like a tight five. You know what I mean? With like some really
sure.
strong dick closers. You know what I mean? And then here's Chris.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He just walks up. You know
oh,
what I mean?
Man.
And like the controversy. I think this is – no, it's not that time. But let's just say he's hot right,
right.
now. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm just like, what the fuck? Like I can't go up. Like, there's no way. And I remember driving home, kicking myself, going, what the fuck?
Did you bailed?
Yeah, I bailed.
Oh, man. So how long did he go? Did he do like an hour or just
No, he did. That's one thing I've noticed about Chris, because even to this day when he walks up, he still doesn't milk the clock. Even though he can.
Yeah.
But like, I think he did like 15 minutes, 20.
Sure.
But it was like 20 Chris. It was like, come on. Like, I can't. And I just left.
Wow.
It was done. Yeah, it was like 92, 93. I can't remember when it was.
When that – oh, no. Then that's way before Bring on the Pain, right?
I think it was Bring the Pain. I think Bring the Pain was right around – Nick, when was Bring the Pain? But it was right around there. All I know is Chris.
Yeah.
And I was just like, ugh. And I remember driving home going, why? And I'm telling myself, I got to get back on stage, because I was so mad at myself that I didn't go up. Like, I should have followed Chris.
Yeah.
But then I was like – thank God you didn't follow Chris. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm in LA and I don't want to follow Chris right now.
But the fact that you remember it now means to me you've been avenging that defeat for
the rest of your life. Oh, Bring the Pain came out in 96.
96.
96. So I think this is, I'm telling you, I can't remember, but I think he was on Saturday Night Live and I think he just left. It was right around that time.
Yeah. It was
so right about that time.
Between that, when he sort of like.
Because Bring the Pain came after he left.
Yeah, and he kind of like, I'm going to do
everything
different from now on.
And that's the Chris I was
watching. So he started to build right then.
That's the one I was watching. It was crazy.
Wow.
And yeah, and I just remember going, why did I do that? Why? And but then, you know, what's crazy is like fast forward 20 years later, here I'm at the Laugh Factory, and Chris walks up because he's practicing his Oscar stuff, right?
Oh, my God.
And I just remember going, yeah, I guess I have to follow Chris tonight. And that was cool.
That
was
great.
Cool because now I was that comic. Like,
yeah.
It's just another comic doing his set and he's probably working out. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I was still in awe.
Oh, sure.
I was still sitting there with all 10 knuckles underneath my chin with a smile on my face and then bragging to everybody, hey, I'm about to follow Chris.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's a different time.
Oh, totally.
And that's the cool thing about stand-up, man. It's like, yo, we keep learning and we just, you know, no matter how good you are, you're still.
Oh, yeah. I'm always trying to shave hundredths of a second off a joke.
Right.
And, you know, just if you change a wording a little bit, then, you know, you pick up some flow in a bit. And it's weird how you never learn a lesson.
Yeah.
Like, Yeah. Like I do this thing where I write a joke and it's dark and then I'm like, and it doesn't work that well. I'm like, oh, the audience can't handle my darkness.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I start playing with it and I'm like, oh no, I just didn't explain it very well.
Yeah.
And why don't I ever remember that the first time? I always default to, you know, I'm not understood.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I didn't do a good enough job. Like you're constantly realizing you don't know very much.
It's so funny too because like you constantly think about it. Like there's always that one joke where you just sit and struggle. Like you know it's got the potential of killing.
Yeah.
And then like you're sitting on like what is it? Is it the punchline? No, it's not that. And it's always like either one word or it's just that one thing that you didn't say. And it's like, yo, like it's such a like – a weird little like you're creating this cake and it's
that's
just like
a very specific recipe.
Like I forgot one ingredient and it fucked up the whole cake.
And you don't know what's wrong with it until you get it all perfect and you're like, of course I needed one tablespoon of sugar.
Eggs.
Yes.
Of course cake needs flour. Why did I say flour? So true, right?
I know.
And you'll sit for like 4 months on that joke.
Years.
There was one. Yeah,
have
man.
You come back to something years later and finally go, oh, they didn't understand what I meant?
Yes.
Like sometimes you think they're on board with you with a concept and you just needed just a little explainer sentence. And then the whole thing just opens
just
wide.
Just blossoms.
Yes. Yeah.
I remember I shot my special, Lights Out, and I remember I was sitting on this closer and I'm like, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it because it kept falling flat. I was like, okay, I'm saying it's such a good joke, but it's falling
sometimes
flat.
Sometimes it's working and sometimes it's not.
No, it was just falling flat at the end, but I knew it was a great joke.
Yeah.
It was about my sleep apnea.
Yeah.
And I was like, come on, like, why isn't this working? And then finally, it's like, I remember I was doing a show, I think it was at the Miami Improv, and I did a callback. I did a callback to this thing.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, there it is.
Oh, my God.
And that's all it needed.
Yeah.
And I remember calling my manager. I was like, I got it. I got it. I found it. I found it.
You know what? People do. Comics, I think, forget the magic of a callback.
Yeah.
Like, it's
I don't.
Free
laugh. I pray for them.
Yes. I know.
I pray for them.
I mean, the only thing that sucks is now you're locked into doing jokes A and B, so jokes X, Y, and Z work.
Yeah.
The best possible. But yeah, people just – I don't think like newer comics use them enough because it might seem too roady. I'm like, no, you already did all
what
the work.
Talking
get another
about?
Laugh out of it.
Get it. Dude, I think it's the most genius part about joke telling.
Yes, that's when you kind of
grab another punchline and just throw it over here and slap them in the face twice. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's comedy gold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, man. Who are your favorites growing up?
I'll
name three. You name three.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
You want my three?
Yes.
First or yours?
Go.
Eddie Murphy, number one.
Yeah.
This is a tough one. Brian Regan, number two.
Yeah.
And here comes, I got to give number three to like two people.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby and my boy Chris Rock.
Wow, that's an impressive list.
Yeah. Bill Cosby to me, you know, unfortunately what he did, you know.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't take away from the storytelling, man.
He always kind of bothered me.
Yeah.
Because I felt like he was spelling everything out a lot. Even though I knew it was funny, it didn't sit well with me.
Really?
But I was afraid to say it because everybody loved him.
Yeah.
So I just kind of kept my mouth shut. But now that he's a rapist, I don't care. I'll say he wasn't one of my favorites.
Yeah.
But I understand the skill, and especially with him doing like hour and a half and 2 hour shows. That, you know, aside from his sociopathic tendencies, you know, that's an incredible ability.
Mind you, this inspiration is when I was 13 years old. I'm watching Bill Cosby himself, you know, his HBO special, and I'm 13. And I just couldn't get enough of Mama's great, Daddy's great, fix the chocolate cake.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just that whole, I don't know, it's just that story. I'll even put Whoopi Goldberg in there too, because her one-man show, when she did Fontaine and all that, her one-man show, I was just like, I was a kid. I was a teenager. And just seeing that, like, whoa, did she just create five characters on stage?
Yeah, that was pretty insane.
It blew my mind.
Yeah.
Like, it was just so crazy. And then she was talking about I don't know.
Although,
like, that was inspirational to me.
I did get bothered later on when she was always included in a list of female stand-ups. Like, they would only list five, and one of them was Whoopi. And it's like, she isn't a stand-up.
Yeah.
She's a funny person.
She did two one-man specials.
Even a one-person show isn't stand-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this.
Yeah.
It was very inspirational for me.
Yeah.
Those storytellers are the reason why I tell stories.
Yeah.
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 Go, yours.
Let's see. Dana Carvey.
Yeah. Oh, man. Can I get rid of one then?
Who are you going to get rid of?
Oh,
who
man.
Are you going to get rid of? You can't. You can't. Sorry.
Man.
That guy.
Ah, oh, that guy.
Yes.
That guy, man.
And he would do, now,
oh,
like
I totally
Whoopi,
forgot.
Whoopi would do, okay, she's in a theater situation switching characters. Now, Dana Carvey would do all, he would do Church Lady, and he would do his brother Scott, who turned into, was it Wayne or Garth? Which
so
one
you,
is him?
Well, now, when you were seeing this, you did San Francisco like in 86, 87?
Yeah, I started in 87.
So then you saw Dana doing all that.
I saw him before he was on SNL, and he would go back and he had this like I didn't realize he was lying. I actually thought he had an uncle that sounded just like Scarface, but now I realize it was a genius way for him to get a Scarface impression. But he had a character called Uncle Carlos, and
yeah.
he would do his brother Scott, Uncle Carlos, and the church lady. And
yes.
then later he would close on a Thanksgiving dinner between all three characters.
Yes.
And it was a fucking
Yeah, you already did.
Tour de force.
Hold on. Can I just say something? She goes, it was fucking, can I? And then the next word was actually a clean word.
It was amazing. And he would bounce back so effortlessly between these characters. And I don't know that I've seen anyone do anything like that. No makeup,
yeah.
No, you know, nothing. Just a guy on a stage, just a short white guy on a stage bouncing back and forth between all these guys. And that was like
his,
really amazing.
His, God, now I'm mad that I didn't say it. But you know what? I said it before.
Yeah.
His, that one special that he did, I don't know where it was. I think it was in Colorado or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know where it was. One of my favorite specials of all time.
Really?
Yeah. And it is so funny because I just saw it.
Oh, cool.
Like, I just saw it on Netflix. I was just, like, going through and I saw Dana Carvey. I was like, oh, let me watch it. And I was like, how did I not watch this when it came out?
This is genius. He just released a new one, right?
Yeah, he just came out with another one.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, like he loved, like, what I loved the most about that special was he was in love on stage. Like, he was in love on stage.
Total.
He was loving
everything
performer. That he was saying.
Yeah.
And he was enjoying everything he was doing.
Yeah.
And he was loving the audience. And it just, everything showed that night. And I'm just like, that's how I want my special right there.
Yeah.
I want to do that. And that's who I told. I told my manager and the people that were shooting my special.
Sure.
I remember saying, please watch this Dana Carvey special because this is how I want it
shot. It's your lookbook.
Yo, he was amazing.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But geniuses are just always incredible.
Yes. Yes.
Like, he just walks around incredible.
And he was really young too. You know, like for me, I've just had to work really hard. I don't think I was naturally that, you know, gifted on stage.
Yeah.
I just sort of got used to being on stage.
Yes.
But some people start just on third base in terms of stage presence and comfort level.
Yeah.
And being willing to bomb and not, you know, I think he was one of those guys.
Yeah.
He was so young when he was so commanding on stage.
Oh, he's the best, man. You could just, he's one of those guys you just look at and go, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care what you're saying right now.
Yeah.
I really don't. 45 jokes about my dead dad. CISO, you guys, it's today. It's our hour special. We're talking to Lori Kilmartin, writer on the Conan O'Brien show. We can say that.
Sure, yeah.
That's
your
fucking credit, man.
Totally.
Just quit shitting on my compliments.
I'm just, you know, uncomfortable with compliments.
Ah, whatever. Kilmartin.com. I think every comic likes to say that. I'm just uncomfortable with compliments. But deep down inside,
really
you're like,
am,
say it again.
Yes. That's
say it again.
That's true, too. But I did, like, I did, you know, I have written some really bad jokes. Since Trump won, I've just written some really turd jokes. So part of me is like, I can't take any credit for anything. Maybe once the new year kicks in, maybe I'll have a fresh start on my head.
Good.
I've just been so sad.
Annie Laurie 16.
Mm-hmm.
That's her Twitter handle and Instagram. So follow her. And of course, Facebook is Lori.Kilmartin. We'll be right back with more Lori Kilmartin, if you don't mind.
I'd love to.
Let's do it. Hey, you guys, if you're looking for the perfect mattress to sleep on, it's Helix. You know the cool thing about Helix mattress? It's not just your run-of-the-mill mattress. You know, it's like every single mattress at the mattress store is the same. You're getting one specifically for you because you're unique. You don't walk like everyone else, talk like everyone else, or sleep like anyone else. So why is your mattress one size fits all? Get a Helix mattress specifically made for you. Because a truly customized mattress will cost you $5,000 to $10,000 bucks. Until now, go to helixsleep.com answer a few simple questions, and they'll run a 3D biomechanical model of your body through the proprietary algorithms they develop through the world's leading sleep scientists. That's right. Helix customers report a 30% improvement in overall sleep quality. 30%! And for couples, they customize each side of the mattress. Your mattress arrives at your door in about a week, and shipping is completely free. You have 100 nights to try it out. Go to helixsleep.com/podcast. That's helixsleep.com/podcast and get $50 off your order. $50 off your order. That's helixsleep.com/podcast. helixsleep.com/podcast. MeUndies.com/comfort. Type in what I just said to you and try on the best pair of underwear you could possibly wear. Picture a world where putting on a new pair of underwear isn't just fresh. You're stepping into a better day. Think about it. Underwear is the first thing you put on and the last thing you take off. Why would you settle for anything less than the best feeling underwear on the planet? And that would be MeUndies. And for a limited time, everyone in my audience gets 20% off their first order. But you have to go to our special URL, MeUndies.com/comfort, and get 20% off your first order. Try them on, and they aren't the most comfortable, best-feeling undies you've ever had. They'll refund you. That's right. So try them on. Included in the price is a sweet touch of modal, a special fabric made with the best-in-class raw materials that are scientifically proven to be 3 times softer than cotton. So everyone, get MeUndies on your body today. Hey, you guys, you know, I've been talking about TrueCar a lot. You know why? You're looking to buy a car. You want to make sure that you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. Unfortunately, a lot of times this isn't the case. People configure cars online only later to find out they're not available. With TrueCar, you get real pricing on actual inventory. This is not pricing offered by TrueCar, but pricing from an actual dealer. And not just any dealer, but a TrueCar certified dealer. Using TrueCar, you can easily find your car that you want. Next, TrueCar will show you what other people in your area paid for the same car that you're looking for. There are over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off of MSRP. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Okay, one thing I love to do as a comic is sleep. I mean, I can sleep all day, every day. I don't know what else to say. Other than, I like to lay down in my Bowl and Branch sheets. There's nothing more comfortable than these perfectly made sheets. Getting a great night's sleep is easier and more affordable than you might think. You don't need a new expensive mattress or sleeping pills. You just need to change your sheets. Bowl and Branch sheets, that's all you need. Change those and watch your life change. Everything Bowl and Branch makes, from bedding to blankets, is made from pure 100% organic cotton. Even 3 U.S. presidents sleep on Bowl and Branch sheets. Are you kidding me? To get started right now, my listeners get $50 off your first set of sheets at bowlandbranch.com. bowlandbranch.com. Promo code PODCAST1 and get $50 off your first set of sheets today. bowlandbranch.com. Promo code PODCAST1. Do you want to go to sleep and feel good about it? Then get these sheets. Good night. And we're back. You really thought we were going to take a break.
I took my headphones off and relaxed.
She started stretching.
Whoa, we're back on.
No, we're back. This is lightning fast breaks. What did you love the most about shooting this special? And I know it was 2 years ago, but did you shoot it or like did you produce it?
I did it myself. I'm $26,000 in the hole.
Look at you.
I'll get it back, but yeah, I did it myself.
We need to get that back already.
I hope. It's a big. It was a big swing. Yeah, I shot it at the Lyric on La Brea, which is like a black little tiny black box theater.
And, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Way to go, Lori. That's how you do it.
It was weird. I couldn't, you know, I did a bunch of little road trips where I went to little tiny rooms and I said, just let me, I need to do a, you need to bill it as 45 jokes about my dead dad because I need to get audiences that know what's coming. Part of the reason I wanted to do a special separate is that every time I would just be doing my regular act on the road and I'd start talking about my dad, there would be like this noticeable dip in enthusiasm.
Yeah.
The, you know, it's like a Friday night late show. They want dick jokes. They want them hard. And so I just wanted to have people that were into that and wanted to hear it, you know. And so I would, you know, fly out and do like a little weird theater in Chicago, or I went to Dallas and Austin and put myself up Airbnb and see if anyone came out, just to put it all, string all the jokes together.
Yeah.
You know?
That's really cool. And then you invested in yourself. That's the best part of this whole situation.
Yeah.
It's like you bet on yourself and you won.
Yeah, when it works, it's yeah.
That's the best.
It is. It's
but
cool.
I mean, anything's going to work as long as you believe in yourself. You know what I mean? It's not going to work if you just don't believe in yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Seriously. Like, that's I always say this, and I know I'm beating a dead horse on my pod right now, but it's been a common thread throughout every interview.
Yeah.
But I really, truly believe in that. It's like, if you believe in it, because no one's going to believe in you more than you.
Yeah, and no one's going to go, hey, yeah, let me give you money for that. Most of the time, they don't. I mean, there's a few people that live in that world, but a lot of comics, we're sort of on our own, you know?
Uh-huh.
And you have to come up with some different angle, and you have to pay for it yourself, and... You know, hope it pays off.
Yeah, and you. Another thing is because I did the same thing. I went
same
route. Yes, I went ahead and invested in my last special.
Oh,
and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this on my own because if you guys don't think it's going to happen, I think it will.
Yeah,
and I did it.
That's great.
And it happened.
Yeah,
and that's what you got to do, man. I like everybody that's sitting there thinking like, oh my god, I don't think it's going to work out. I don't think this is going to happen for me right now.
Yeah.
I don't believe in myself too much. Well, if you have that type of thought process, then it's not going to happen. Throw some energy behind your voice and say you can.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you've got the jokes and you want them out there.
I'm saying in anything, Lori.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
In anything.
Yes. Bigger. Yeah, let's think bigger than stand up.
Yeah. It's just, just like you're an example of something really great. It's like, yo, you knew you had something and I'm gonna do this. Like I'm gonna come out of my pocket.
Yeah.
And yo, if it doesn't happen, it still happened because I got it.
Yeah. And
not only that, you did sell it.
Yeah.
You
finally
did.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter you did. It doesn't matter when.
Oh, sure,
you
sure.
Did.
Yes.
That's so cool, man. Congratulations on
Thank
that.
Thank you. And CISO, thanks
so much. CISO is a great sponsor for the Corolla Show.
I love CISO. So they have like such a cool slate of specials this entire fall through the winter, and they've got like really cool shows.
Like we're honored just to say that with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lori Kilmartin is on CISO. Watch it tonight.
Yeah.
It's 45 jokes about her dead dad.
45
jokes about my dead dad. I said 45, did I?
Yeah. I thought you said 20. Oh, sorry.
No, 45, girl. I would never short you 20. I'm giving you all of these dead jokes.
You're like, I saw it. You only have 25 jokes
in
there.
Yeah, I saw it.
There's another 20. You should have worked on those.
No, I would never. Yo, let's talk about the book, Shitty Mom.
Oh, yeah. I wrote that a couple years ago.
How cool is that?
It's cool.
No,
it's fine.
I love how you just, every compliment I give you, you either shit on me. It's more than cool, hon. It was a New York Times bestseller. And
week. It was just on the.
Oh, Nick, are you hearing this shit?
That's absurd.
You're absurd.
It's not Eat, Pray, Love. It was on for a week and then it
shitty
slid
compliments.
Right down.
Let's call it that. What is wrong with you? Take these compliments.
Oh, that is a question that is unanswerable. I've been trying for a long time.
I've been trying to answer that, Joe, for a long time. This is great. You're out in New York, right?
We tape in L.A.
Oh, okay. But are you out in New York or no?
I go frequently. I go back to New York about once a week. Once a month.
I was in New York about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and they shut that street down. Trump Tower.
Oh, yeah. You know what sucks is if you have a spot like on the west side and you're trying to go to the east side, you're fucked now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad. And it's like there's SWAT team. There's SWAT in front of the doors. There's cop cars on every corner. They make people walk down one side of the sidewalk one way and then the other way, checking purses.
Yeah.
It's a nut house, man. And I feel sorry for all the businesses next to it. It's just
awful.
Like, what a clusterfuck, man. It's like, isn't it hard enough to walk in New York? Now you got to do this shit.
Yeah, and that's prime real estate that you have to avoid. You know, and sometimes Fifth Avenue is the best street to go down at 9 o'clock at night when you're trying to get to, you know, the stand or something.
Yeah, exactly. You know? What is your favorite club to work out across the country?
Oh my God, I you know,
wait, you didn't even finish your top three.
Yeah. Okay.
What is wrong with you? You said Dana Carvey, and then you left it at that.
You stop asking.
I did. Give me two more.
Bill Hicks.
Oh, yeah.
Was very influential.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. Although I always feel like every time I was trying to copy Bill Hicks, I was just like a total, you know, just a bad version of him, you know, just yeah. angry. And, you know, I mean, he's.
I'm even angrier.
Yeah. He's so unique that, you know, it's the best you can do is be inspired by him in terms of, you know, I don't know. But yeah, I did a really. That was just, I was like, I'm not that angry on stage.
Yeah.
Like, and it doesn't work for me. Have you ever when you started out you tried to ape a comic that wasn't your style at all?
Yeah.
And you know, like if you know you see people that try to be deadpan, you're like, no.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
Yeah. That's what I did when I was juggling.
Oh, really?
No, I'm joking.
You're a deadpan juggler.
I was
juggler.
On stage and I had four pins in my hand. What the fuck am I doing? Just want to talk about my mom right now. Why am I trying to juggle this chainsaw?
That's so, an amazing way to challenge yourself is
right?
to talk about your mom while you're juggling.
Yeah. I'm going to take a picture real quick with
Raise
Lori.
Raise the game.
Lori, run, two. Have you ever seen that done before, you guys?
I just took
a picture while doing a pod.
I like that. And it's not a –
it's called
selfie.
Changing
it shows
the game.
Whole thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Only on the koi pond.
Yeah. Only on the koi pond. So we got Bill Hicks.
Yeah.
Dana Carvey. And I know you're thinking right now
mm-hmm.
for number three.
I am thinking for number three.
You're blurry.
I am.
No. I'm saying in the picture.
I thought you meant emotionally I'm blurry because that is completely true.
Okay. That one's better. You ready?
Yeah.
God, now your eyes are closed. You're the worst. You ready? One, yes. two. This is a great pod, by the way. Got it.
I posed.
All right.
I was actually in deep thought while you were taking your first call.
Really?
Yes. Nice. That's why my eyes were closed.
So what do you got now? Who's your third? Everyone's on the edge of their seats right now.
Well, it's hard to – I can't think of a third that I would say I was that influenced by as Carvey – and Bill Hicks.
Uh-huh.
And everyone else is like, there's like a tie for third by among 3,000 people. I love Brian Regan.
Oh.
I love him. And I worked with him many times on the road early on. He used to do something called the Idiot and the Oddity, where he would do two separate shows on a week. Like he'd go to Cobb's in San Francisco, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, he'd do The Idiot. Wednesday, you know, Friday, Sunday, The Oddity. And so people will come see him twice in the week.
Oh,
like,
why can't he do that anymore?
Genius.
Why can't he do that anymore? Does he do that still or no?
I don't think so.
I went to see him, this is like years ago. This is like 1990.
Yeah.
I went to go see him. And this is before I was like in the clubs or doing, I was still doing like coffee houses and stuff.
Sure.
And, I didn't know how annoying a fan heckler was until I became a comic.
Okay.
And then I got fans that were
calling
out for bits.
Oh.
And of course, I called out every single one of his bits.
Donut lady.
Oh, I did all that. I did donut lady. I did science project.
Oh, no.
Cup of dirt. I was the
you
most.
You too.
You too. I did.
That's the worst thing because they fan hecklers always shout out the punchline.
Yes.
It's like now I can't. If you just shout at the first word of the bit, maybe I could go into it.
No, but what was even crazier about him is that special just came out and he was, and he did an hour of new shit.
Wow.
And I'm yelling out his like it
stuff
was
stuff he's done
because
put it to rest.
I remember me and my friend Chris went and Chris Skeens and we went and we were both. Huge fans, and we were watching because of the special.
Yeah,
and like we both looked at each other like, why is he not doing Donut Lady? And I remember him going, "Oh man, you guys have been great. You what a great crowd." We were like, "What the fuck? No, you're not leaving
so
now."
You prevented him from leaving the stage.
Goddamn right. And I think Chris was the first one to go, donut lady.
Oh,
and then
God.
I remember Brian goes, well, how am I going to do that joke where it doesn't sound like someone in the audience would just yell that out? You guys eat donuts? And he went right into it. I was like, this guy's a genius. Then he was about to say goodnight again. I was like, cup of dirt.
No.
Swear to God. Swear to God. I think we did four of his jokes out loud. And he did all of them.
That's
good
cool.
Eye. Good eye.
Go, my favorite sports team. Go.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It was the best.
Oh, my God.
The best.
Yeah. Yeah. He has a cool life, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he has enough of a fan base where he can just tour, you know. I think he tours at a certain time of year only and then stays home with his kids.
Oh,
it might just be summer touring.
Oh,
and I
love
know,
that.
I'm the type where if I'm not on stage like three nights, it's like I never performed in my life. Like,
yeah.
I lose every chop I have.
It's not even like me. I just start to fiend like a crackhead.
Yes.
I'm
like, I need
to get on stage.
Angry. Yes.
Yeah. I'm like, where do I go? Because this living room is killing me right now.
Yeah. Yep.
But then again, I also love being in my living room. Like if I do five shows, I'm like, I need my living room right now. I need my living room right now.
I need a remote.
Please.
I need a television.
And I need to sit down and I need to wake up late. I need to not answer any messages.
And watch drama. No laughs.
Whatever.
No comedy.
I don't even think I watch TV anymore. I think I just look at the TV off. I'm just so zoned out, man.
You literally watch the road.
The road kills me.
Yeah.
Like, but I love it. I'm not putting that out there.
How many weeks a year are you out?
I can go every week.
Wow.
It's up to me whether I'll there's like two or three weeks out of the year where I won't do it. Like Halloween, I will not do. Halloween weekend, I will never do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Labor Day weekend, I won't do.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Why not Labor Day?
I don't know. It's just a crazy. I think Labor Day is like a day where everyone like wants to just go out.
Yeah, but that Sunday is usually pretty good, right?
Nah, I hate it.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just a weird weekend. I feel like it's just not a good weekend.
Yeah.
People just want to go out.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Just like go boating.
Yeah,
one
boating.
Last time.
Yeah,
oh,
they
gotcha.
Don't want. They don't want to go inside somewhere. So after a while, I was like, oh, this is not what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
So it's like those weekends, I pick and choose when to do them.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's like every week.
That's tough, man.
Oh, it's tough on your body.
It really is.
Because
you're waking up really early, right?
Oh,
do you go in
man.
The night before?
I used to. I've been blessed where there's some markets where I don't have to do that anymore. I can just fly in now.
Yeah.
But then there's also those markets where it's like, okay, I got to fly in right now.
Right, right.
And right when I land, I have to go right to radio.
Yeah.
And now I'm on zero sleep because I have sleep apnea. I can't sleep on the plane.
Do you bring a machine with you?
Yeah.
Wow. Carry on?
Yep. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're paying every time for luggage then, right? To bring clothes because you have to check a bag?
Well, I don't know if you know this.
You're elite.
I'm elite.
You know what? My friend Jackie Cation is also elite.
Yeah.
Because of my day job, I'm not getting the miles I used to get. So I've already forgotten the privilege.
Yeah, but you get to say Conan, okay?
I do.
All right, you get to say Conan. I only get to say I'm flying first class to Nashville.
I'm JetBlue.
That's not really. Yeah. Wait, Conan and
JetBlue.
First of all, I will say this right now. JetBlue is on the come up.
Yeah.
They're amazing. If you're going to fly first class to New York. Or LA, if you're flying New York to LA or LA to New York, JetBlue.
Well, they don't have first class.
Yes, they are. Are you kidding me? Mint is amazing.
Wait, do the seats lay all the way back?
All the way down into a bed.
I didn't know that.
And they're suites, sister.
Oh.
You got little cubby holes. You got your own TV. You got a plate.
I guess.
Shoes. Eye mask.
I'm so depressed by that whole
section. A guy that plays violin.
I walk by with my eyes hooded so I don't see what other people have.
That's what I fly. I used to fly Virgin first to New York. Now it's all about first. JetBlue will kill it. It's called Mint, and I'm telling you, crushes you guys. Crushes the game. JetBlue's on the come up.
Okay.
Did you hear how I said come up? JetBlue's on the come up.
It sounded extra urban to me.
Yeah, too
impressed.
Urban. You got to fly JetBlue.
I do fly JetBlue, but I fly in the back.
Oh, come on.
I think the Mint seats are like $900, and the other seats were like $300.
Get this.
Yes.
Really? You know how much I paid for Mint?
Mint's a lot, right?
Grands. but it was worth it. But get this.
Yeah.
45 jokes about my dead dad's about to get you mint.
I hope so.
No,
please,
hope.
Dad. I hope his death was not in vain. Get dead, me mint, Dad.
Hey, look, dead dad is he's up there saying, don't worry, honey. I help you write these
he's
jokes. It's
going
to happen.
It.
Yes.
Great.
They're about me, so this is about us.
I'm flying. Yes. I'm flying mint for dad.
Everybody, it's on CISO. This is a Corolla. We love CISO here at Corolla.
Yeah.
And one thing we do love is Lori Kilmartin. Lori Kilmartin has her first special, 45 jokes about my dead dad. And it's tonight, you guys, December 29th. CISO. Watch
yeah.
it.
Thanks, Joe.
Go to kilmartin.com. Buy whatever she has on sale. Compliment her and watch her not take it. Your podcast is Jackie and Lori Show.
Yeah.
Who's that? Who's Jackie?
Jackie Cation.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And it's just us. We don't have guests. And yeah. we just complain. We meet once a week for an hour and
I love it.
Talk about our weeks and yeah. comedy.
And just complain about everything.
Things that we're angry at.
Good
yes.
for you.
Yeah.
Well, unload.
We both done... We're clubs where we're like, oh, they're never going to work us. So then we complain about the club.
Yeah.
Easily. Comedy Castle.
Where's Comedy Castle?
In Detroit.
Detroit?
Yeah.
Is it fun?
I don't know. I worked it once. The guy didn't like me. Never worked it again. So you know what? I'm done. Well, I'm done trying to kiss their asses.
I'm done talking to you, Comedy Castle.
Now I'm outraged and I'll say it.
Yeah. I work for Conan. I would say that. Dude, I would say that all the time. If I work for Conan. Wouldn't you, Nick?
I write for Conan too. You don't. Yeah. You're not bringing him coffee. You're
yeah,
you
write. Yeah,
yeah.
I write for Conan.
Sometimes I should bring him coffee.
Just go to Starbucks and do that. What's
yeah.
your, what name for your? I write for Conan.
God, that's my name on my cup.
Yeah, that's your name on your cup.
Conan.
I write for Conan. And then she goes like this. Oh, and Lori.
And I get a cup that says douchebag on it.
Yeah,
wait
yeah.
a minute.
Wait a minute.
What's going
no.
on, guys?
No, wrong cup. What's your favorite cup of coffee?
I just like regular coffee with a little bit of milk. I've been drinking this thing called mushroom coffee. Have you heard of it?
No, that sounds disgusting.
It makes you smarter, apparently.
Have you That's heard of this, say. Chris? Mushroom coffee?
No.
Yeah, it's got some...
It's called mushrooms. It's got mushrooms in it.
I don't know
she
about
was thinking
that.
Deep on it. It's really good coffee. It's got, God, what is it?
It comes
mushrooms. That's the fucking ingredient you're looking for.
All right, maybe yeah. it's not making me that smart.
Yeah.
If I couldn't remember that.
Yeah, this mushroom shit ain't working, is it?
I have to reinvestigate this.
Yeah. God damn it. This coffee's so good. It's so different. It's got... It's called mushroom coffee, and I'm forgetting what they put in it. But it makes you... Mm.
There's some other...
It's a fungi. I know that.
Ingredient like lion's paw or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, lion's paw. Jesus.
Laura's writing all her jokes.
In Starbucks in Chinatown. Have you tried our new lion paw coffee? How about baby panda eye? Baby panda eye latte. Make oh you have goodness. Good vision.
Makes
what?
You extinct.
Don't tell anyone you had it. Tiger paw. I love it.
Lion
paw. Whatever. Who gives a shit? Something Charlie Sheen has. Tiger's blood, right? Lori, you're amazing.
Oh, you are. Thank you
for
having
coming
me
on.
On
this. That
Appreciate
was so much
it.
Fun.
Yeah, it was. I hope we can do it again one
Wait,
day.
So you, how many kids do you have?
I just have one.
How old?
He's 10.
Well, boy, huh?
Yeah.
What's his name?
I don't like to say his name on because I don't want him... I want him to be able to disassociate from me 100%. And he's going, the way I talk about him, he's going to need to.
You are the worst. God. I don't want him to know about me.
I have a secret life.
He's awesome. 10 years old. I'll tell you this. You got 3 more years till they start pulling away from you and you're going to wish.
I just read. That's what I've been praying for. Because then I thought, well, I won't feel guilty if I go out, you know. To do a set.
I'm telling you, it's making me cry right now.
But I just read that there's a study where they found that teenagers, what they really want is a parent who's just at home hanging out, not talking to them. I mean, they will pull away from you, but they want you in the next room. And I'm like, this is going to be worse now.
Yeah.
I can't go out and do stand up.
I'm telling you right now, it's breaking my heart. So wait, I want to see how you react when he turns 13. And then, you know, we'll talk about that. Because him breaking away from me, he's not my best
We're
friend
very
anymore.
Very close. He still sleeps on my bed.
I'm telling you. Watch what happens when they're 13.
He's a total mom.
He's not
boy.
Even going to want – not when he's 13. It's depressing, Lori.
How could
get
you
ready.
Not? How get could ready. You not want this?
Watch what happens. He's not going to want anything to do with you.
I know.
He's breaking my heart. My son breaks my heart every day.
How old's your son?
I don't know. I kicked him out at 13. Kick that little fucker out of the house. Get out of here. You don't want to talk to me anymore? Bye, bitch. Give me my phone back.
Now, how old would he be if you were keeping track, if you could estimate?
No, he's 13 right now.
Oh, he's 13 now?
Yeah, he's just 13.
Oh.
So I'm going through all this right now.
Oh.
It's pretty depressing.
Are you single dad?
Well, and the mommy and dad, I are, you know, divorced.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean,
we're not divorced. We just were never together, or we haven't been together in a long time. Yeah. So I do worry about that, like, you know, how that affects them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But me and the mommy, you know, we're very close. We got, you know,
we worked
it out to where she lives right down the street from me. He comes back and forth.
Oh, that's perfect.
I can pick him up anytime. I'll just shoot a text, got him.
You
I don't
guys
have to
did
be
it
specific.
Right.
Yeah. Really, her boyfriend's really cool. My girlfriend's super good.
Oh, that's great.
He loves my girlfriend. You know what I mean? He loves her boyfriend. It's just like he's got the best of all worlds right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
My mother moved in with me to help me take care of my son.
Yeah. He's going to hate both of you in about 3 years.
Well, I already hate her. So come on board the ship, honey.
Lori Kilmartin, Kilmartin.com. And you guys, 45 Jokes About My Dead Dad is available on CISO right now.
Yeah.
Come on. December 29th, you guys. That's the day. That's first, today.
I think the first week is free at CISO.
So go get it.
Yeah. Come get it.
I mean, how amazing is free? Thank you very little. Follow her on Twitter and Instagram, AnnieLori16. And, of course, Lori.Kilmartin. And listen to Jackie and her. It's the Jackie and Lori show. And you get that on iTunes, anything, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just listen to her complain about her son. and, of course, this book is still on shelves. It's called Shitty Mom. And go get that book. Get everything that has to do with Lori Kilmartin. She's really funny.
Thank you.
And you know what? She's not going to be at the Comedy Castle, but she will be at every other comedy club across the country. Go watch her. Watch Conan. Lori, you're amazing.
Thanks, Joe.
And we're going to leave it with this right here. Have a good day, everybody. Lori, you killed it.
This is Corolla Digital.